There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Right as we move into our 3 o'clock hour, it's Chuck and Chernoff with you until Braves baseball, Braves and Red Sox, 7:10 first pitch. I'm told there might be some weather in the area, but have no fear. The good news is you have a McAlpin and a Domino always ready with hands on deck if there's a rain delay show, just as a backup plan. The 3 o'clock hour of our show brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast, posted at 680 The Fan's website under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Chuck Oliver.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Chuck.
Guess what?
What?
I read the show sheet today.
Oh, good for you. What'd you see?
I'm prepped. I know all this.
So we're good?
So let's talk sports.
All right. You start.
I think that's kind of all he had there.
Oh, you never know when it's done.
It's kind of done.
There could be more. Then I'll start. As I said, the Braves and the Red Sox tonight at 7:10.
Come on, Sox!
Voice sounds familiar. The voice. It doesn't matter. The Braves open up play now 7 games back of the Mets, who decided again last night they don't want to lose. They beat the Reds 5-1. So the Braves need to get a little streak here and hope they can cut a couple of games off this lead before the Mets come in on Monday. Now, I'm sure this isn't the record, Chuck, but we have 38-year-old Charlie Morton pitching tonight against 42-year-old Rich Hill.
Charlie M., you dumb motherfucker!
How many older combos, head-to-head starting pitcher, you think you can do better than 80 years old? I'm sure it's happened, but
probably
I just...
Probably a Warren Spahn versus somebody.
Is there a chance
maybe
there's
a... Jim Bunning, Robin Roberts.
Jamie Moyer, Bartolo Colon, like some of that. But 80... Like, Charlie Morton is a child compared to Rich Hill, who was 42 years old.
Phil Niekro maybe faced off against Steve Carlton.
Something like that, right? Tom Seaver late in his career. Mm-hmm. That very well could have happened. Here's how long Rich Hill has been pitching in the bigs. His first season in 2005, the Braves were finishing up that run of 14 straight division titles with guys like Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones still in the lineup. John Smoltz, a part of the rotation. Now Rich Hill will face a version of the Braves trying to win their 5th straight division title and facing an uphill climb now, 7 games back. Now
he looks like he is in physical like anguish with each pitch, like he has to like shot put it over a brick wall or something.
If he could break glass with a fastball now, it might be a surprise, and that could be a problem. Because you have so many free swingers in this Braves lineup, and the worst of them is Marcell Ozuna. Like, everybody else in the lineup has had moments of being real hot, some moments of not being on the pitch and having a 2 or 3 week stretch where it isn't good. Marcell's been just mostly awful.
Ozuna is the best talent in all of baseball.
No, this is Ozuna. Marcell is 5 for his last 40 with 13 strikeouts. He's hitting .215 for the season with a 6.59 OPS.
It's all awful.
.392 slugging percentage. He's got a negative war. His war is negative 1.1.
If you could just get an average player in the lineup, it would be a better result is what war is saying.
To give you some more context, he's getting worse. He hit .195 in July with a 6.15 OPS. In August, he's .160 from the plate with a .480 OPS. To give you even more context, only 9 players of the 150 that qualify in baseball have a worse batting average than Ozuna, and only 19 have a worse OPS than Marcell Ozuna. And then if you want to take it a step further, his negative 1.1 war ranks number 620 out of a potential 630 players in all of baseball. I'll repeat, 630 of them, he's number 620. I can make you feel worse about it. Eddie Rosario is actually worse than him at negative 1.3, and Robinson Cano's on the list at negative 1.8. He was 629 out of 630. How about them apples?
You know how, the motivation behind why the graphics on screen have changed to where they are now in virtually every sport? Because it's about daily fantasy. So that's why when you see Marcell Ozuna step to the plate, or anyone now, in almost every case, what you're going to see is their current production. Hey, how is he doing on my team tonight? So that's why they do it. Old school, Matt, you remember this. Hoyt, BJ, everybody, if you're at least 25 years old, it used to be guy would step into the box, average
home runs,
RBI. Ribs.
But now you're getting the slash line.
If you showed the traditional stats for Ozuna, you would think, man, get that average up. But it's a sort of okay season. No, yeah. It's not. He has hit some home runs. Everything is horrid, including the damn home runs. He has 19 of them. That's an okay total. It has been a bad, awful, terrible season at the plate for him.
I'm going to make a claim that if you would have played, I don't know, pick some Phil Gosselin. It couldn't be worse playing Phil Gosselin for this whole season in left field or DH the way Marcell's been this bad.
Michael Harris is 21 years old. It's the first time he's been everywhere. He's way, 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 way better than you. Better.
The GMs are not going to get everything right. And for the most part, Alex has been on spot. This is one that he missed. The Will Smith thing, if it was, the postseason cleans up what was an otherwise kind of forgettable 3 years.
Thanks to the Astros for having unlimited money and the need for a lefty.
Right. You've also got two more years of Marcell at $18 million apiece. I don't know who would take that bad contract unless somebody else has a horrid one they have to get rid of themselves.
Just about to say, they have two more years of this. I bet they don't. I bet they don't. I bet somebody will get on the hook for about half that.
They're going to have to eat. Yeah, they're going to have to eat a lot of it.
Yeah.
Here's one piece of good news, and Dave O'Brien had this yesterday, that Kirby Yates pitched another clean inning Sunday at AAA Gwinnett. So that was his eighth rehab appearance. He used just 13 pitches and got 12 strikes in those 13 pitches to get six outs in his last two outings. He's allowed four hits, one run, couple of walks, 10 strikeouts, and 8 1/3 over 8 appearances, 5 at Gwinnett. It sounds like he's close. I mean, that's got to be a next week thing. So your bullpen gets another piece to its puzzle. We all hope by the end of the month, beginning of September, Ozzie Albies returns, and things could look a little different for the Braves at that point. But I told you this next six games, I mean, you'd love to get just on fire and streak going into the Mets series, but 4-2 at worst. You need to go 5-1 if you really want to get greedy. You'll play two at the Red Sox. We gave you tonight's pitching matchup. Tomorrow night, it's Kyle Wright against Nick Pivetta. Braves have always hit him well, the former Philly. Then the Braves go to Miami after a day off. We'll play four games in 3 days where Max Fried gets the ball Friday. You love that, against Pablo Lopez. Saturday's doubleheader is Ian Anderson against Jesus Luzardo, Jake Odorizzi against to be announced, and then Sunday, Spencer Strider against Braxton Garrett. Did you hear one name that I didn't mention for the Marlins?
Alcantara.
No, Sandy Alcantara. So you miss him, which is a very big deal.
They stopped scoring runs. All-star break. It ended.
Have you peeked ahead to the Monday through Thursday Mets?
I have not even thought about that.
All right, Braves-Mets pitching matchups.
I'm game, Matt.
I know you are. But I'm going to look ahead. You look at tonight. That's fine. The Mets and Braves will play Monday night at Truist Park. Charlie Morton against Carlos Carrasco. Tuesday is Kyle Wright against Taijuan Walker. Wednesday, I feel like we've seen this before, Max Fried against Max Scherzer. And then Thursday will either be Jake Odorizzi or Ian Anderson against Jacob DeGrom. Have fun. Here's the good news. DeGrom couldn't be near as good as he was last time. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, he may only get the first 15 out. Was it 17?
I've watched baseball for a long time. I've seen dominant stuff. I watched Randy Johnson's perfect game in Atlanta. I've never for five innings see somebody dominate the way DeGrom did, where major league hitters looked so foolish and like it was pointless for them to bring a bat to the plate. That's how dominant DeGrom, who might be when you start talking about just sheer stuff and talent, I don't know if he's top five of all time, but he's in a discussion. And when he's at the height of his powers like he was Sunday, I don't know what you do.
Like I said, I think he's fresh. I think he and Scherzer are both fresh. They're not. Are they brittle? That they've had issues before, but I think right now, given certainly the age of Scherzer and DeGrom and his history, I just think it's August and they're fresh. They're daisies.
F them.
I hope so, yeah.
F them.
I hope to do it four times here next week.
60 days from now.
Here, take this. Ah!
Hope they have arms just dangling. The Falcons are continuing training camp prep. They will play Friday night, 6 o'clock against the Lions in Detroit. The Falcons opened as 2.5-point favorites, but now it's down to 1. Big move. Big move. The money movers are moving this line.
I always say there's an angle to everything. There's always something to look at. With preseason betting, preseason football, there is just a whiff, a hint of quarterback play. Beyond that, I don't know what you're looking at.
But even the whiff of quarterback play, like, so Arthur Smith said, if you're healthy, you're going to play. But that could be a series for the starters. I mean, I don't know. I'd want them to play more, but it could be a series. You could be ending up with Desmond Ridder and Felipe Franks playing 3 quarters in some kind of look.
Well, Felipe going to play some tight end?
Both tight end and it's like, how would you bet that?
I don't. Like I said, it's a whiff of a thread.
Can I ask a dumb question? Can you? I'm sure you can. Are there numbers for daily fantasy? Like if I wanted to get on a Prize Picks, for instance, or something like that Friday night, could I play?
I don't know that.
I need to get to the bottom of that.
Again, oh, Prize Picks. Bring me the regular season for college football Prize Picks.
But, like, I don't know how that would look again because you got to set the numbers very low because you don't know who's going to be in the game long.
That would be fraught with risk.
Well, I mean, life is about risk, Charles.
Yeah, but you're supposed to have an angle on the risk.
You hope to have an angle.
We'll avoid the alligators. We'll stay away from the river.
Listen, every gambler in America for the history of mankind has always thought they had an angle. Then it turns out to
exactly.
Be
wrong. What's the opposite of having an angle? Fraught with risk.
So WNBA... I see some daily fantasy there.
That's playoff stuff, though.
Candace Parker, Chuck, is 10.5 points. Baseball, see PGA. Oh, NFL, here we go. Nope, regular season.
Well,
so there you go. All right, let's get our winging it idea.
It's time to wing it. Brought to you by Wingin' Burger Factory. With over 50 Atlanta locations, find yours at WNBFactory.com.
So your Wingin' It idea answers today will come to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. It will be cliched, but I think the timing is appropriate. We mentioned the passing of Olivia Newton-John yesterday. For certain ages, that was a very special time in a boy's life between her appearance in Greece and then a certain video of her in workout gear. Let's get physical. I said that was my first crush, but I lied. I was wrong. So we're going to ask you your first crush today. Linda Carter as Wonder Woman.
It's powerful stuff.
It changed me. Like in a way.
Make you lock your door.
Among other things. Boy, did you ever have a grown woman dress up as Wonder Woman for you?
Not yet, no.
Still time.
I got a website for you, by the way, if you want to...
What if you got Lisa Wonder Woman costume?
I've got that website for you.
Is that something she'd be interested in?
No chance.
What? Why? But if you gave it as a gift, and you dress up as Zorro, and you guys role play,
tell her she can do what she wants with that golden lasso.
I think you'd be a hot Zorro with the little face
Here's
mask.
Here's my sword.
All right, fire some bullets at me. Got the bracelets on.
Here's my sword. Anyway, Linda Carter. There's my first crush.
Might have been Jacqueline Smith. Farrah Fawcett. It should have been Farrah Fawcett, but that boat was kind of crowded.
Do you know what I had a problem with, like, Farrah Fawcett and Jacqueline Smith? They were also skinny. Like, it was a very 70s, like, early 80s skinniness.
Absolutely. That's true.
I felt like Linda Carter had some meat on her bones and those boots and the leather.
Well, she was a superhero. Yeah, she had to defend the free world.
Yeah, she could defend a lot.
Actually, you know what you said, Chad? You know the backstory. She came from, like, Amazon Island or BJ, where Wonder Woman come from? Like, some island of, like, big, tall, huge ladies.
Amazonia.
Big, tall, huge ladies.
Big Amazonia.
So when you're going on Tinder.
Big,
when you're,
tall, huge ladies.
It's referred to as Paradise Island.
I'm looking for big, tall, huge ladies. Very good.
She's a.
I know.
She's a five technique.
Listen, Linda Carter? What the hell is wrong with you?
She was still got it, too.
Two point
she
stance.
She was the height of her powers.
That's what I'm saying. 2 point stance.
I always envision her catching me in that lasso. Am I on the radio? Sorry, I was daydreaming. Wait.
It was a compliment.
Your childhood crush.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Gadget from Rescue Rangers, but she was a cartoon.
So you're going Tiffany Amber Thiessen like Kelly Kapowski or like Valerie Malone?
No.
You're going Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah.
Okay. Brandon Joseph?
It was a tie between Lacey Chabert and Jennifer Love Hewitt, both from Party of Five.
Now, Lacey was very young when that show started.
I was very young.
I mean, like, she was really young.
We're the same age.
Okay. Like, I'm talking like she was a kid. Dan Matthews, your first crush.
Like, wait, Jennifer Love Hewitt. She's like 8 years older than you.
Lacey Chabert is 6 years older than me.
Okay, but how old was she when she started the show? I bet she was 10.
No, she
12.
She's like 14.
No, she was not.
She was probably like 6 or 8.
Chabert was even younger? I need answers, BJ. While Dan's telling me his crush, find me how old Lacey Chabert when you had a crush on her. Dan.
Topanga, Daniel Official.
That's a big one for a lot of kids. Yeah. Boy Meets World, Chuck.
1999, Party of Five started. She was actually 17.
Liar. No, Jennifer Love Hewitt might have been, not Lacey Chabert.
Lacey Chabert was 17.
You're getting lied to off the internet. She looked like she was 10 in those intros. Anyway.
What they all said.
You guys will send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Your first crush, you'll send those answers now. Coming up next, it's time to play Let's Make a Deal. To bring this former dog home.
I would take the $1 million for one night.
I think we all might, Chuck, but that's not what this deal is about.
Just like Matt's wife at bedtime, no deal.
Wow.
It's almost like you were all there. We'll talk about it next. And showing off with you on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Tuesday with us. We're with you until the Braves and the Red Sox do baseball battle at 7:10 tonight here on the Fan and the Fan mobile app. Braves will send Charlie Morton to the mound against Rich Hill. Braves open up play tonight 7, back of the surging New York Mets. The 3 o'clock hour of our show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. You can listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header, or at thisstuffmatters.net. Coming up in 5 minutes, for Kirby Smart, some big recruiting news yesterday that sadly won't even move the meter for people like Hoyt.
Fat people.
We'll talk about that coming up in 5 minutes.
What a better tease than the one I put on my show sheet email. Who wrote that tease?
That was me.
Fantastic tease. Mine wasn't any good on the show sheet.
We cleaned it up for you. I told you it's time to play Let's Make a Deal.
All right. Who are we dealing?
We're dealing for Roquan Smith.
He'd start.
Bears linebacker this morning made it public that he's requesting a trade, and here's what he wrote in a statement, and this is damning. Quote, they've refused to negotiate in good faith. Every step of this journey, has been a take it or leave it. The deal sent to me is one that would be bad for myself and the entire linebacker market if I signed it. Smith accused the Bears front office of, quote, trying to take advantage of me, unquote. And the organization, as he said, left me no choice than to request a trade that allows me to play for an organization that truly values what I bring to the table. Now, we've covered a story like this 50 times in sports, whether it's in baseball with Juan Soto, basketball and Kevin Durant, football in this case with Roquan Smith. Once this happens, you'll never get the appropriate value. It's just impossible.
You also never get in most cases, you won't get the appropriate production, effort, all that. Because once this happens, it is hard for a guy to go out there and bust his ass.
Yeah, he's never plays for the Bears again. Like, after you write this, how do you play for a team that you said they didn't negotiate in good faith? They don't value me. They try to take advantage of me. So if you're the Falcons, when opportunity knocks like this and you're a team that's about to have a ton of salary cap space and a need for game-changing type players, you do what you have to do, even if that means overpaying a little bit in the draft capital. We'll have front office Lois on this a little bit later on, but like my idea, if the Bears wanted a plug-and-play linebacker, would be Deion Jones, but they might not want that contract. Deion has a negative value contract, which is about $13 million for this season, that now that we're post June 1, a trade would leave the Falcons only about $5 million of dead cap. So it's not a huge hindrance to the Falcons. I just don't know if the Bears think Deion Jones is worth $13 million between his salary and bonus. But if he's not, I would do a couple of mid-round draft picks, maybe one next year, maybe the one year after that, and just see what happens. I only say that because, well, two things. Number one, I don't know that the Bears, again, are going to have a ton of leverage in this. And if the Deion Jones part of it comes to fruition, Chuck, it's only because it's August and they're going to need a linebacker. Deion Jones ain't nowhere close to Roquan Smith right now. But you're not going to find a starting caliber linebacker this late in the game, in my opinion. So if I'm Terry Fontenot and Ryan Pace, this is where the Ryan Pace Bears connection you would hope comes into play. All due respect to Ryan Pace and signing Elijah Wilkinson. and Damian Williams. And before he retired, after he was here 5 minutes, Eddie Goldman.
Yeah, that's not...
This is where the relationship should factor in. Yeah. I don't know if they would agree to anything the Falcons would offer, but I absolutely am on the phone thinking, Grady Jarrett, I've got a piece. A.J. Terrell, I got a piece. If I added Roquan Smith, now I'm starting to develop some answers, some stuff.
I always say, give me a corner to fight out of. What I mean is, I know that we are above average NFL-wise here, so at least I can count on that and then overcommit to another, just something. If I had another corner, and I don't like this, and it's the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do, but given A.J. Terrell's already there on the roster, if you'd had a premier corner of the other side, all right, well, at least I know what I can do it from that angle a little bit. Falcons have no angle right now. They have no angle on anything.
But I can build you one if there's a way to get Roquan. And let me add about Roquan. He's the only player, according to NFL stats in the league since 2018, with more than 500 tackles and 40 tackles for loss. There are guys who rack up tackles, and they're just tackles. Then there are guys who make game-changing, impact-changing type plays, and Roquan is one of those guys. Roquan's from Georgia. I'm sure that would entice him, whether it's through a trade or free agency next year, because he's on his fifth-year option for about $9 million, then he's a walk-free agent. If I had Grady, Roquan, AJ, then I cross my fingers and say, can Richie Grant be a difference maker at safety? I took the kid Troy Anderson. Now I'd have a couple of linebackers I like. I took Arnold Ebiketie. Like, can I now say that I like something I'm doing here that I can start to build some core of stuff?
Okay. I don't know if we like Ebiketie.
I don't know either, but I'm saying I can build off the knowns in Grady and AJ and Roquan and say, let's hope I got it right with Ebiketie, with Grant, and with Anderson. Chuck, those are 3 second-round picks. Like, you need those guys to be difference makers.
All right, let me just give you, it's hard to find a correct comparison because I'm looking at Roquan and the money he wants. Roquan is the 8th overall pick in 2018. He's played his first 4 years. That you get a 4-year contract and then you can activate the 5th year. And for Roquan, the Bears activated the 5th year, $9.7 million.
Yep.
What he is looking for is the next contract that, like, Quentin Nelson already got, because Quentin Nelson is maybe the best at his position in football.
Here's the beauty. Can I give you the beauty? Falcons don't have an expensive quarterback next year, and they have a ton of cap. They can overpay at positions. It's the time when you're going to sign a Roquan Smith would be okay. Then.
Here's the thing. Roquan has been a starter for the Bears basically since day one. He hasn't made a ton of plays. He's been a really good linebacker. I'm talking about sacks and interceptions. I'm talking about what you pay a guy to do is get in the backfield and change games.
He's got 40 tackles for loss, most in the league, though. That jumps off the page at me.
Great speed, runs around. I'm talking about changing games, and he wants. Then why aren't the Bears doing this?
They don't. I don't know. I can't speak.
That's what I'm saying.
Chuck, I have no knowledge of it. Everybody's got a point where they don't want to pay something.
Yeah.
Now, they could be a cheap franchise, which I've heard about the McCaskies and that franchise for a while. That's always been a thing with the Bears. That's one. Two.
Can I say one thing about that?
Hey, but let me say this about Roquan. He's not somebody they send after quarterbacks all that often, so I can't hold it against him that he's not a sack guy.
Okay. Why don't they do that?
But I don't know that they ask that out of that position for them. That's what that comes down to.
And so there are different positions. You don't pay every linebacker the same. If you're an edge guy flying off the edge, you get paid more, and so he wants to be paid more.
I'll say this. He had 5 sacks as a rookie at that position. That's not nothing.
And he's got 10 cents or 9?
He's got 14 total in his career.
9 cents.
Roquan would be a major upgrade.
Okay.
Bring Ro home. Hashtag bring Ro home.
However, what does he want? He wants.
Who's the highest paid linebacker right now?
Edge or linebacker?
Well, no, a linebacker. He's not an edge.
I say that's what I'm saying.
Well, of course, but that factors into this.
And so is that even a position you pay? You pay a left tackle. Do you pay a left guard?
I would pay Roquan Smith. Because, again, the Falcons, here's what we're going to find next year. If you have time in front of you, bring up the free agent list for next year. You get past about 2 or 3 names and you're like, I don't want to pay that. I'd pay Roquan Smith. Why? He's 25. I think he'd be a huge upgrade. I think he'd be a difference maker. Grady Jarrett in front of you. Dean Pease is your DC. Roquan would be a huge upgrade for this team. And because you don't have stuff on the books next year, you can overpay. Like, who's going to make money next year for the Falcons? Look at that roster next year as of today anyway. You're not paying Kyle Pitts yet. You just paid Grady. You paid Jake Matthews. You don't have a bunch of guys making a ton of money.
Quentin Nelson, for whatever you care about this, he was sixth. And again, he's a guard. You don't even get paid like linebackers. But again, you know what? Guard and inside linebackers, kind of the same as the difference between left tackle and edge.
Right, but it's changed where we're willing to pay those spots more now.
Quentin Nelson, who's really, 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 really outstanding. See, maybe this is why it's different, because right now, actually, this is from about 2 weeks ago. I'm reading in the Indy paper that there are talks going on. The idea is that for the 26-year-old Quentin Nelson, he's going to get a 5-year deal in the $19 million to $20 million. They're going to pay a guard 5 years, $95 million. Roquan's like, I was taking two picks after him, and I start virtually every single time.
I would add, things have changed in the league to where we're paying different positions. We're paying receivers the way we used to pay quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We have $20 million receivers all over this league.
That's what I'm saying about the Bears. They traded for for Khalil Mack, right? And made him the first $20 million, first $20 million defender in NFL history.
And they traded him away.
They did.
I mean, they I don't know the Bears like chapter and verse, but I've heard enough stuff about them not spending money. So, I'm only going secondhand of what I've heard. If I'm the Falcons, I got to spend this money on somebody starting next year. Whether you trade for a Roquan now or wait for him to free, I got to pay somebody. Here's what's going to happen, and mark my words. When they sign this free agent offensive lineman or defensive edge, they're going to overpay for whoever that is too. Just the way free agency goes. You're going to pay a B-plus player, A-plus money just to get him here.
He makes a ton of tackles. I don't pay a guy $22 million a year for that, and that is what he wants.
Roquan slander from Charles.
Hang on. This is not the same thing. He has
more tackles for loss than anybody in the league. That matters.
I'm saying this before I say it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as Keith Brooking. There's a difference between making tackles and making plays.
Did you just take a shot at Keith?
No.
Sounded like it. Wait, you hear that? Little dig at Keith Brookings right there?
Roquan piles up tons of tackles, and damn, he's fast, and he's a good tackler, and he's tough, and he's all this I pay for sacks and turnovers.
The league has changed.
That is it.
You have got to change it. We're paying corners. We're paying wide receiver. We're paying positions that we didn't pay.
I'm paying people who change games.
Quentin Nelson change a game?
5 years, $95 million, says maybe he will.
The Colts have told you they think he does. I'm on Team Roquan.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
All right, so big Cruton news from Kirby yesterday that Charles says won't even move the meter for obnoxious people like Brian Latravius Hoyt.
Fat people. No, and this is actually, it's another example of, hey, Georgia fan, guess what? Good to be you. If you didn't see the headline, that's a really awesome headline. And if it stays that way, bully for a Georgia fan. If it doesn't stay that way, that's the whole point I'm about to make. ESPN Junior 300 running back. This kid with still got year of high school left, got another year after that. 2024 recruiting class, Tovani Mizell, kid out of Baltimore, DeMatha Catholic, you know, the basketball power from years past. Well, they put out football players as well, and Tovani Mizell.
You know, he's got a nickname.
What?
The Bogeyman. No, seriously, he's the Bogeyman. I read that.
Oh, is he?
He's the Bogeyman. Hoyt, have you seen this? This kid's got a nickname, and he's like 16. He's the Bogeyman, which to Kirby, that would be the Bogeyman.
So Tovani Mizell commits, and I'm like, is he a four-star? Well, we don't know yet because we don't assign stars to sophomores. So we'll get around to it. Maybe he's a high four-star. Whatever he is, he's a stud. He's a top 100 recruit, actually. He's 94.
I said Alabama is a Bogeyman.
No, he's the Bogeyman.
So he's committed, and that's great, okay? Top 100 running back recruit for 24 committed to the Dogs. Really nice news. And the collective fan base hopes he follows through and signs a letter of intent and then comes in as productive. However, What I have noticed over the past probably two recruiting classes, because there's a lag before it really kind of subconsciously sets in, Georgia fans don't care much about a decommitment. Not much about it. Now, a transfer, all right, that's going to rankle a fan base same as any. Like the Jermaine Burton thing, you're like, wait a minute, we just beat them, So a transfer, that's different because you've already got a real good idea about whether the kid's a ball player or not. But the single worst outcome possible before a kid signs his letter of intent, when that happens to me, I'll go back. And I was transparent about it that day. George Pickens, he was committed to Auburn for like a year and a half. He was best buddies with Bo Nix going back forever and ever and ever. George Pickens, open my chest, start just pulling out whatever you run across, okay? A Georgia fan right now, you don't want that clearly, but when it happens, because it does happen to you just like everybody else, UGA fans have reached the place where a kid flipping, it's not good news, but I mean, for real, it is another scholarship available for Kirby. And Georgia fan just goes about his or her day.
Which is a culture
What a place to be.
Do you remember the days, and we've done this long enough, that when a Georgia kid would end up at Florida or Tennessee, the Mark Richt stuff, how do you let this kid get out of the state? Which I understand. Mark Richt was recruiting top 8 classes, top 10 classes. Kirby consistently has lived in the top 3. So you have faith in him that if that kid flips or that kid changes his mind, he'll go next door and get somebody else to flip too.
The fans, it's a good place to be, because it was different with a transfer, because like I said, you've already seen that kid and you're like, wait a minute, he really is a ball player. But when it is, hey, 4-star linebacker kid from Lakeland, you're going to Miami instead? Well, we got 15 players every bit as good as you waiting for an offer from our coach. So hashtag pants grab. That's where that program is right now.
Georgia adds the boogeyman.
Boogeyman.
Yeah. There he is. I told you. You got to be really good to have a nickname at 16. We are the boogeyman. Tuvani's got that. Mizell is the bogeyman.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that is.
The bogeyman?
I said Alabama is a bogeyman.
Oh, gosh. Bogeyman, that's what he is, and that's what they... Now, I wasn't here the week that Arch Manning decided to go to Texas. What was the response to that one, Hoyt? Was there just disappointment or, like, anger?
It was more disappointment, and you rationalized it by still saying Stetson Bennett is your quarterback, and quarterbacks don't want to come to Athens because they know the offense they run. Blah.
Was that what it was, though? Is that what people kind of...
Yes, but I also think there's this idea that... because he did it last year, and I know it was with the defense, that you can still do it with somebody that's not, quote, Arch Manning, if that makes sense.
Okay. I just was curious what the reaction was. That was the one week I was on vacation, and the biggest, like, everybody thought it was done. He was coming to Georgia. He loved this campus, greatest thing he's ever, and then he went to Sark in Texas.
There was a day, and I'm going to say it was before Christmas, I guess, because as I'm remembering, didn't Jake Fromm put out a video of, like, answering the door, and somebody was Santa Claus, and that's how he announced his commitment? It was with a wide receiver.
It was Richard LeCount and, was it J.J. Holloman?
Maybe it was somebody, and they were like, we're all going to Athens, and Hoyt that day was like, and they got an offensive lineman from somewhere up north, like from Brooklyn that day or something. And I'm like, they're getting kids every bit as highly rated as when Hoyt stopped the show. We got Jake Fromm. Every bit as highly rated. And Hoyt's like, next, next, next. Kids going to Ole Miss instead. We got 15 others. Next.
It's funny what winning a title will do for you, isn't it? Mm. Can I give you a quiz before we move along?
What?
I like to quiz the king every now and again. I saw a list over the last 20 years of teams who have won in the NFL 10 games or more the most. Do you think you could...
Packers.
Packers have won 10 games 13 times. That's not the most.
Steelers.
Steelers have won 10 or more games 11 times in the
Patriots.
Last...
Patriots.
Patriots are the winner 18 out of 20 years.
Amazing.
They've won 10 or more games 18 out of 20 years.
Matt Castle year... I think they won 10 games that
year. They went 10-6. Do you want to venture a guess how many times the Falcons? This is Warren Sharp who had this big NFL analytics guy. Warren Sharp had teams, again, 10 win seasons last two decades. Falcons have done it 7 times.
Good for us. Mike Smith, thank you.
Dallas is tied with Atlanta. Denver and Cincinnati, 7 times they've won 10 or more games. That right now is 6th in the entire league over the last 20 years. It goes New England 18 times they won 10 or more. Green Bay and Indianapolis, 13. Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Kansas City have won 10 or more games 11 times in the last two decades.
You know what Kansas City was for your life growing up? Not a good team at all. Elvis Gerback gave them a moment, believe it or not.
So for me, my earliest memory, and You know, it was like Steve DeBerg and Christian Okoye and Barry Word, the most boring offense ever.
It was nothing.
But they did win with Marty Schottenheimer. They just never won in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, that, again, that's the top of the list. Again, the Falcons are seventh on the list. New Orleans, I'm sorry, Baltimore's done it 10 times. The Saints 9 times and the Eagles 8. You want to venture a guess?
Dolphins.
The worst.
Dolphins.
Dolphins have won 10 or more in the last 2 decades, 4 times. Browns. That's not the worst. You'll find this funny. What? Miami is tied with Tampa, the Jets, and Houston, who have only won 10 or more games 4 times in the last 2 decades.
Tampa's got 2 Super Bowls.
3 times it happened. Buffalo and Jacksonville have only won 10 or more 3 times. And the bottom of the list, Washington, Raiders, Cleveland, and Detroit.
Folks will not believe this from about 71 until about mid-90s. About 25 seasons, Washington was as solid and well-run.
They were the most buttoned up.
Yep. Steady, consistent franchise, man.
They were built on offensive line.
Damn, they were good.
They had the hogs, right? They ran the ball well every year. About
having veterans, yep, and just
great defense. Joe Gibbs, and they've been lost for 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it really just is. About. They won that Super Bowl.
Beat Buffalo, and then it was kind of the last hurrah.
Yeah.
So. Gerald Riggs got 2 touchdowns that day, so good for Gerald.
Good for Gerald. Love Riggsy. All right, we continue our countdown to the college.
Oh, I don't have it. Hang on. Give me some. All right, go ahead.
Rain Man, you okay?
I didn't have it.
Oh, all right. Well, let me try again. We continue our countdown to the college football season. We call it 99 problems. We're down to problem 25, which means only 25 days to go. Item 25's around the corner. Tease us.
A mostly forgotten pillar of one ACC program success might be returning to campus.
Sounds hot. We'll find out who it is next. It's always a good time. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for hanging with us on this Tuesday. We're with you until Braves and Red Sox from Fenway Park. 7:10 first pitch.
Come on, Sox!
You'll get it on the Fan and the Fan mobile app, so look forward to that. Hope you guys are enjoying our coverage each and every morning with the Locker Room. As they're live from training camp with special guests, player appearances, interviews, and so much more. 6A to the Fan live at the 2022 training camp in Flowery Branch.
Things are better here now.
See that. Brought to you by Hooters and Duffy Realty of Atlanta.
If you're having sports problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. College ball ain't one.
Yeah! Chuck!
Day
25.
25!
You feel it now? Like, it's so close.
We got football 2 weeks from this Saturday.
So close.
Week zero, so there's that. Said a mostly forgotten pillar of one ACC program success might be returning to campus. I'm talking about Virginia Tech specifically and the secondary. If we think of the roughly decade and a half where the Hokies were at least regularly in the legitimate conversation about who could win the national championship, it was about 15 years or so, then there are so many characteristics of that program. And you think, how consistent for Beamer to leave that in our minds, the impressions in our minds when he's been gone, you know, pushing a decade now. It was always special teams, Beamer ball, we knew that. He said, folks, I put starters on special teams. It's not that hard. So he says, I'll give him a playoff on offense or defense. I'll give him a series off. Go block a punt. It changes everything. So it was Beamer ball. We knew that. But what was it beyond that? Do you remember how many sledgehammer tailbacks that looked like fullbacks that they would just, Ryan Williams and Kevin Jones and Kevin Smith, just all of these guys, one after another. And so there was that. There were the huge defensive ends, the pass rushing, you know, coming off the edge, all that. Believe it or not, there were receivers, a lot of receivers they put in the NFL. For me, the Virginia Tech secondary was always the key. And if you go back to the 757, the area of Virginia, Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads, Newport News, all of that stuff. You look at the elite players like Pro Football Hall of Famers that came out of Chesapeake, etc. It's not just really good players or starters or even all conference guys. It's pro players, it's pro bowlers, it's Hall of Famers. It was always the secondary with Virginia Tech that most impressed me. You think of how Virginia Tech back in the day, it would be D'Angelo Hall, who, my gosh, he turned even better after he left here. He had a crazy Sunday where he and Steve Smith got into some stuff, and so he had to go. But after that, he became his 10-year starter with the with Washington. Jimmy Williams, Brandon Flowers, Cam Chancellor, year after year after year. J'Ron Holsey, names you hadn't even thought about since they left Virginia Tech. It's not what it's been recently, and when they have had some standout players, a lot of them, it's either coming off a red shirt, I started 2 years, and then I'm off to the NFL. I mean, guys that you look like Edmonds, and you're like, maybe you should stay one more season. They've had so much turnover and inconsistency back there. What they have this year that you're really going to like is four returning starters. They're all over upperclassmen. They actually have two more guys coming off the bench with starting experience. Armani Chapman, he is a safety, but he's actually an all-ACC corner. He's just a big, built-up, ripped-up dude who was a cornerback that you look at him and go, oh, yeah, he's starting at safety. No, he can turn and go like a corner, and he's good enough to be all-ACC at it. So it's a building block for the new head coach who was the DC at Penn State and used to work way back in the day for Bud in Blacksburg. So he knows all about Lane Stadium and Sandman and all that stuff. So he is going to build from the secondary forward. Dax Holyfield at linebacker, another stud. Problem for Virginia Tech is the closer to the line of scrimmage you get, and this is on both sides of the line, unfortunately, the sketchier it is. Really, really strong in the secondary. A couple of studs at linebacker. A lot of questions up front, and they didn't hit the quarterback very much last year to begin with. So if they can lean on a secondary somehow, it could be a better year defensively.
25 days left. I think I can make it if I just believe it. There's nothing to it. I believe in football.
Everybody.
I believe in college football.
Just the back of the room.
Think about it every night and day.
If you're in your car, sing along.
Y'all behind the stage. Everybody behind the stage. Come on.
Just the ladies. All right, now just the dudes. No, no, the real dudes.
I believe in football. 25, I believe in football. 25, I believe in football.
You're not getting that on Lakati's show.
25.
Guarantee you. Maybe after the end of that, you're better off.
25.
Idiotic show.
And you don't mess around with Gurley.
What? 25 days till college football's back for real. We have an issue.
What that?
So David Branson, who's a big listener to the station, listens to all the shows.
OBX Leatherman. Is that right?
That would be his
Twitter handle.
Why do you know that?
He's an intelligent. He is an intelligent tweeter.
I don't even know half. Okay, never mind. David says, and he shows me screenshots, there's a lack of creativity here at the radio station today because the morning show for their slice of life question asked, who was your crush as a kid? And then Nick and Chris also asked your first celebrity crush. Why didn't anybody tell me this? I would have changed ours. David, might have been a helpful thing. But
can I read a random tweet?
Sure.
This is from Brent Rollins.
What's Brent's handle? Is he OB Leatherman?
Brent Rollins, PhD.
Okay.
Well, he's talking about Roquan. What does he say? He says, since 2018, 50 NFL linebackers played at least 2,000 snaps. Roquan's grade is 33rd. His run defense grade is 46th.
Do you know what I'm like, though? I'm like Chris Landry. You have your PFF.
I'm just,
listen, I watch,
I'm just reading random tweets, that's all.
I watch football. You watch numbers. I'm a football guy.
Another tweet, Dexter says, what time can I win King CFB dinner? Never 30.
That's tomorrow.
Never 30.
Dexter, I apologize for him being a douche canoe. Tomorrow at 3:30, Thursday at 3:30, you'll have a chance to win Chuck's dinner. Okay? That was rude of you. That's a customer of ours. Trick said he had a first crush of Jessica Rabbit. She had a lot of curves for a cartoon.
Sure.
I forgot about Erin Gray in Buck Rogers and then Silver Spoons.
Yeah.
The role of Kate. That's a very good one. So I don't care that the morning show or Nick and Chris did it. We're all pulling the same rope.
No. That's the same sort of thing. Like, you know, after Hank Aaron passed, who was your first sports hero?
Sure,
I mean, it's the same thing. Livy Noon John. It's kind of hand in the glove, man.
You think we're above being cliched around here? Sports talk radio, brah. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of headlines. and tell you why beer and blood finally may be worth mixing.
Oh, what I would do with your blood. I want to bathe in it.
All right, Chuck, we'll have an image about that, and we'll spin the wheel of headlines with clickbait.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.